last couple of weeks, we've been talking about knowing God's calling on your life, and we're going to finish that up tonight. And the way I want to finish this up is, all of us, like I said last week, most of us here are either retired or we're getting close to retirement age. So the work that we have done in life is pretty much close to being completed in terms of the bulk of that work. But this is good ideas for us, for our children, our grandchildren, and for ourselves as well. The title that I have on this is God's Will and Your Job. I couldn't come up with it. I was trying to come up with something a little bit better than that, but I couldn't figure that out. This outline that you've got before you is just simply that. It is an outline, and I really want to kind of flesh it out with a story tonight of Nehemiah. Remember, Nehemiah in the Bible was a man that was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He was a Persian king, very powerful king. And being cupbearer, you're almost like third in line in terms of to the throne. You're very close to, in terms of power, because you have closeness to and access to the king. Artaxerxes, or Nehemiah's, I think it was his brother, I might be wrong about that, but some relative had come and told him the progress that was being made in Jerusalem on the rebuilding of the city. And the report was poor. And Nehemiah took this to heart, and it totally disheartened him. Now, two things you need to understand. Number one is Nehemiah had chosen to stay in Babylon. Well, actually, this is in Susa, rather than return with the exiles to rebuild Judah. And that was a choice that he made. He was no longer a slave. He was employed as cupbearer to the king. And again, a very prestigious position. However, when he heard word that the walls of Jerusalem were not being rebuilt, that there was much consternation among the people, because the exiles that had returned were like sheep without a shepherd. They were just kind of let go. The people that were supposed to be their leaders was looking to their own interests, building their own homes, building their own things, their own gardens and whatnot, fields and whatnot. And Nehemiah was greatly burdened by the derision of the once great city of God being left in ruins, even after the people had been given opportunity to rebuild. And he began to pray. In that prayer time, God impressed upon his heart that he was to go to Jerusalem himself and help in this rebuilding effort and to encourage the rebuilding effort. Shortly he found out that there was very little rebuilding going on. He examined everything himself, and he came to the leaders and he told them, "I'm here to help you rebuild the walls, because the enemies of Judah are here to continue harassing you. And until the walls of the city are rebuilt, we're vulnerable." The people found that that was a good idea, because they'd already had many raids against them, so they began to rebuild the walls. They had individuals within their community and also without their community that wanted to stop that rebuilding process. Nehemiah could have thrown up his hands, because he ran into a lot of opposition, and he could have just simply thrown up his hands and says, "Fine, y'all like that, I'm going back to the king, and you can just do whatever you're going to do, and the heck with you." But instead, Nehemiah dug in internally who he was, and he doubled down his efforts to encourage individuals, organize the labor pools and things like that, and came up with plans of how we can do this. Now, the reason I use Nehemiah and this example tonight to begin with is, my question to you tonight is, do you think that it is possible that the Lord places it in our hearts for the type of work that we are designed to do? We talked last week in terms of our how we're born with certain strengths and how we are led seemingly down a road of how do you choose what you're going to do? What is your calling from God? And we talked about how God gifts us as individuals. But what I want to talk about tonight is something a little bit more specific to that gifting. And it is, does God place a calling on everyone's life in terms of people who are of God, who is his people, that just as in Moses' day, whenever they were going to build the Ark of the Covenant, when they were going to build the housing of the Ark, the tabernacle, God says, I have men in mind that I have gifted with these gifts. And he named them by name and told Moses, you need to go find these individuals, and these are the people that I want you to do this particular job, this particular work for me. So the question again I want to put to you before we really get started in looking at what God's word says about this is, do you believe, number one, that God creates us for a particular type of work while we're on the earth? That's my first question. Do you believe that he does? I see some heads nodding yes. All right. If you believe that you are endowed by God with certain gifts and with certain abilities, and as you, as a young person, let's just go back a few years, as a young person, and you were making choices that was going to affect the rest of your life, whether you went to college and you decided on a major, whether you got out of high school and you began to do a particular type of work, whatever that may be. Maybe it was something farming, or maybe it was in terms of working in a factory, or maybe it was something, whatever it may be, secretarial work, whatever it may be. Now, that being said, was it out of necessity that you took these jobs, or was it because that you were led, you think, by God, and you were thinking along these lines as you were a young person that, Lord, what do you want me to do? What have you gifted me to do for my life's vocation? Yeah. Yes, what?
Well, an experience I had as a teenager reported on a book to the youth group. And they listened. And I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a teacher. So I have, down the path, been a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was a calling.
Okay, so that you can see that as something that God gifted you with, an ability. But also that you found that God opened doors, perhaps. You know, now when I say these things, here's my whole idea. Here's my whole purpose of even bringing this up to us tonight is, if we believe that God has given us abilities and has placed us on the earth for a very short period of time to accomplish a particular, who knows how many tasks on the earth. But in terms of history, in terms of time, it's not even a blink in time that we're here on the earth. 70, 80, 100 years is nothing. And we're gone. We're done. The time is done. And whatever you've done, you've done. And we all reflect at some point in time, I know, is this what God has intended me to do? Have I been faithful to God in the things that I have pursued in life? Now, that requires us to sit down and be introspective. It requires us to take an assessment of ourselves. Let me just ask this. How many of you as young people, when you were young at one point in time in your life.
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Oh, yes, you do. How many of you just felt like you didn't have a choice, that there was no choices available to you? You just simply went down, this path, and then this path over here opened up. So you went down that path, and this path here just opened up. And you had no thought to the end of the road. My point is, and you're absolutely right in terms of obstacles in life and just the way our lives play out. Those things become changers in how we are in life, where we go. There's no doubt about that. But just like you said, you knew at an early age, 14 is an early age, and just as I knew that God had called me to preach at an early age. And yet I refused, all right? I just flat out said no. You're saying that because of obstacles in your path, you said, Lord, that's not possible, or however you said it.
I've been embarrassed once.
Yeah. All right, so you didn't want to be embarrassed again. All right. And so you allow time to go on, and then you hear the call of God again in your life, and it's the same call. It didn't change, right? Well, see, you got a little bit older and a little bit more, that perfect brain was working. And you realized that this time God was really calling you, and even though the first time was too. So here's the thing. How often as young adults, as young children, do we hear God calling us to a work, and we never answer the call? How many of you felt like that you have been called at something at an early age, whatever it is? I mean, there's a lot of callings. How many of you think that? A few of you? Yeah? Now, the ones of you that are shaking your head, no. Let me ask you this. In your life, whenever God saved you, did you feel God calling you at that point in time to be saved?
Yes.
All right. So we've all heard the voice of God in our spirit. We've all heard that voice. We all know that voice. We would agree with that, correct? And yet, when we decide, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to join the military. That's what I want to do. Or perhaps I want to go to college, or perhaps I want to do whatever. All right. The thing is are we, and I know this is hypothetical to a degree, but it's important for our young folk, because I talk to Josh about this all the time. Because I know that I wasted a lot of time finding what I'm supposed to do. And I'll say this, the job that I'm doing, I own my own business and I've owned it for 30 years. The job that I'm doing, it pays the bills, but it is not my calling. All right, I'll say that too. It pays the bills and I live off of that income, but it is not my calling. When we are confronted in life with major decisions of, can you know how God has designed you? I believe personally that you can. Now, all that being said, as a child, you have to have adults that are nurturers in your life. If you do not have those individuals in place that are nurturers in your life that would nurture you in the calling that God places upon you, just as Larry said, and I know Paul and I've talked about different types of things in our lives, you tend to bypass perhaps that calling on your life, or maybe it's never brought out at all. How many of y'all believe or ever thought at some point in time in your life, maybe not, I'm not going to say it as a calling, as God call on you, but Lord, you, did you make me for a reason? What am I here for? Yeah. You know, why am I here? Yeah, Larry.
I joke a lot and say, you know, I did what I did because when I joined the military at 17, they said, you could be a cook or a medic. I said, call me Doc. Well, 43 years later, after working as a hospital corpsman and in kidney dialysis and nursing, you know, after I'd done all that, I look back and see how much I enjoyed it and the contentment I got out of helping other people that was ill. To me, I felt like the good Lord put me there, and I still do today feel that.
So even though that at the time it was just, this is something I'm going to do.
It was a choice.
Yeah, it was a choice, and it's something that I'm going to do. You feel like, in hindsight, in retrospect, that it is a God thing in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
That God has blessed it. Yeah, Dolores.
It looked like when we purchased the motel, I mean, I really rebelled against that. Because, I mean, I was just terrified to have that kind of debt over my head and being able to run something like that. And then God put me totally in charge, and that really freaked me out because I'm thinking, why? I don't want this. You know, I'd rather be home and cook in the kitchen and work in the yard. I don't like the business world. And then when I had to question myself, why am I in here? Then I realized all the lives that came to Vine Grove Baptist Church, young soldiers that came through here, who gave their lives to Christ, you know, and they're out in the world, and I can still call them and talk to them. They're still friends. And that was the purpose God had for me, you know, was to share myself with these people, you know, and it makes it all worthwhile. One life makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, but you also got yourself a great son-in-law out of that, didn't you? Yes, yeah. And I got to baptize him, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. He was scared to death of you.
I know the grandkids, they go to Awana now, and they know all the stories. They call me every Friday, and they tell me all the story about Job and how the God spoke to them and him in the whirlwind, and he restored everything, you know, tenfold. And I hear all those stories, and I am so excited, you know, that these kids have that in their heart already, you know. They love to go. They love to go. And it's almost a two-hour class. And they don't even want to come home anymore. So I'm excited for them. Yeah. See, that makes it all worthwhile. That's the purpose.
Yeah. Okay. So we've kind of got this out in the open. You see on your paper, determine what vehicle you will use to express your gift. And it says true vocation equals your gifts plus your passion. Now, let me just, before I get into this, this outline is actually someone else's outline. I did not pin this. You'll notice that if you read through it, that you'll see some things that's about a book or whatever this individual's written. That being said, I felt like it was a good outline just simply for us to use as a springboard for discussion tonight. Everyone, whenever I ask, what's your passion, I get one of two looks. I either get a look of, I don't have a passion. What's that? Or they immediately begin to just pour out their soul. Let me tell you about my passion. Now, if you're one of those individuals that say, you know, I've really never thought about it. I don't know what my passion in life would be. It's never too late. But the thing about passion is simply this. Really, I think everyone has passion in their life. We may have tamped it down, and we may have kept the embers from getting high. You know, we sing, Set My Soul Afire. My passion in life is proclaiming God's gospel. It is not, and let me qualify that too, because I think it's important. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. My passion is simply to come to Christians, people that have already accepted Christ, and tell them who they are in Christ. That is my passion, to explain to them with examples and try to pull out of them who they truly are, how God sees them. You talk to Christians and, you know, you get this gamut of how God sees them. Well, somebody's wrong, you know. And my passion is let's get on the right page. Let's look at what God says. And that's my passion. Yeah. That being said, if you find yourself passionless, and trust me, in life, it's easy to be passionless. Simply because life beats you down. And life, it just simply seems to get a hold of you. But have you ever wondered what it is about, and I'm just going to use some biblical characters. Moses was one of them I was going to use. Here's a man that his passion was kindled for his people. You know, he was raised as Pharaoh's son. And he had a passion to help his people in some way. He ended up killing an Egyptian. And because of that, he had to flee Egypt because he would have been executed. And he went into the desert, married a Bedouin desert woman, lived with their family for 40 years tending his father-in-law's sheep. 80 years old. Now, what was Moses' passion in 40 years? Here he was a prince of Egypt for his first 40 years of life. Well, he, no, he did. He was raised a prince.
Yes, but he was not born a prince.
No, he was not born that way, but he did know it. He knew that his mother, Jochebed, he knew that was his mother. Yes. Nursed him. But here's the thing. And the Bible is silent on it. But what was Moses' passion for those 40 years in the desert? Did he ever think, Lord, am I just going to die out here in the middle of nowhere amongst people that are not my people? Think about if you were living, I don't know, someplace that's foreign to you, whatever that place may be in your mind, and you're living there for 40 years, and you're working there for 40 years, and you're raising a family there for 40 years, but it's not your people, it's not what you had thought life was going to be. Do you think Moses had passion? Well, we know that he has passion because all you have to do is see when God called him after he finally settled down and says, okay, I'll do it. First, he said, get somebody else. But after God called him and he accepted the call, we see the passion that he had. He wouldn't give up. And even though that was the impossible being done in his life, he believed God just as Abraham believed God for the impossible. And so the Lord became his passion. We see, and I'm just going to use another example that told Larry this morning. Larry is truly depressed and beaten down right now as a human being. And I told him after church today, my Sunday school class, we just got done studying Jeremiah. And I said, brother, you personified Jeremiah. I understand exactly a little bit better now how Jeremiah must have felt. You know, I saw it in Larry's demeanor and what he was saying, body language. I've known this man for a long time. And the depth of what happened this morning at the beginning of that service, of our service, that was eye-opening. Not in a bad way, just saying it, eye-opening. But my point is this. Look at Jeremiah. He had a mission that God says, Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to your people, and you're going to preach to them, and what you're going to preach, your whole thing, it's all gloom and doom. It's all gloom and doom. Not saying you're preaching gloom and doom. I'm just using Jeremiah as an example. But it's all, this is the message that Jeremiah gave his people. unless you turn back to God, you're all going to die. How would you like to give that message day after day after day?
26 years and not one convert.
And but what Jeremiah says, he heard from God. So what was Jeremiah's passion? You know, if we had to pick our work, would you pick what Jeremiah was given? Would you choose that? Say, Lord, I like that idea. Let me be like Jeremiah. No, we probably would not choose, you know, door A with Jeremiah behind it. And yet, Jeremiah, during all that time, he complained. He was broken. He was beaten. That is this man's mission. But
he
proclaiming,
called a weeping prophet for nothing,
wasn't he? He had good reason. But he proclaimed God's word nonetheless, and proclaimed it with all that he was. He proclaimed it with all that he did. Whenever you go around and people hate you, when you go around and people curses at you, when you go around and people said, Jeremiah, I'm going to catch you in a dark place someday, and that'll be the end of that. Whenever you go around and the law says, Jeremiah, I'm going to catch you in a dark place someday, and that'll be the end of that. You cannot think that has to, you know, whoopee. You're not living a life that is full of joy. And yet that was, God chose him specifically for that. He said, at the beginning of Jeremiah, he says, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I have chosen you for this time, for this mission. I'll just use it as that word, mission. And Jeremiah would say, but Lord, I'm just a child. And God says, don't say you're a child, because I'm giving you my word. My word has got weight. My word has power. And my word will stand. So how does that go back to what we're looking at tonight? God's will and your job. I think a lot of times we think that, and we all do, we have our dreams, and we want to see our dreams fulfilled in life. And if you look down that list, that's one of the things, is you should pursue your dreams. God wants you to pursue your dreams. But so often, we will find that there becomes obstacles, there becomes a calling of God, perhaps, that becomes a heavy burden in our life. And you have to make a choice. You choose whether or not to do what God has called, you feel like God has called in your life, or do you choose to ignore that and to continue to pursue your dream, whatever that dream may be? Can you do both? No. That's unfortunate, but it's a truth. When God calls us to work, God may give us some choices, but typically it's all about the same thing. It's just how you go about it. And is God's question to you is, will you serve? Will you serve me? And my question to us tonight is, in pursuing a meaningful life of work, a body of work that, you know, we get to the end of our life and we look back and we examine this body of work. Did we do what God has made us for, or did we veer off the path for some reason? And just as we've already heard from Larry and Dolores, things come into our life that at the time may seem like, how do I know that this is God? And yet God blesses and brings glory to his name through our circumstances, through our work. I want you to look at a few things here. Number seven says this. Get moving on your dreams. These dreams are your purpose. God wants you to get moving on your dreams. He wants you to take a step of faith so he can fulfill his purpose in you. It's a rolling stone that gathers no moss. And the Bible puts it this way, and Jesus is speaking. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I've heard that verse described in various ways, but I want you to think of something here that Jesus is saying. And it's important in terms of pursuing your dreams. When you sit down with the Lord and you say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What have you made me? What have you designed me to do? Have you designed me to do particular things? What would you like me? Again, I'm going back to our early days, which, again, we're just speculating here, but we all know young people. You go back to your early days and you would say, what am I good at? What should I do in life? What job should I pursue? And last week, one of the things that we looked at is how other people see God's gift in you that perhaps you can't see. A lot of times we don't see the things that other people see in us. We don't see traits in us that continually comes out. But if you're around friends, so often they'll say, you know, you're really good at helping people. You have a heart for encouraging individuals. Really? I never thought of myself that way. Yeah, you do it all the time. You're always doing that. That so often can be a voice that God sets into motion in our lives to reaffirm who we are in terms of how God has created us. And if we have particular gifts, and everyone, we talked about this last week, everyone that is a Christian has all been given gifts, all of us. All human race has been given gifts. But as Christians, we're given specific supernatural gifts as well, on top of our other God-given gifts. So again, getting in prayer, talking to God, and saying, Lord, what am I good at? What would you have me to do? Would you open the doors for me that you want me to walk through? That I simply trust you to lead me in the right path. I know a lot of kids, and I'll include myself, I thought along those lines, you know, as being raised as a Christian child. And yet, just like you mentioned, Larry, I was afraid because I didn't have any experience in knowing, is this of God or is it not of God? And the thing that I found, and what I encourage, and I'll just say it in Josh, because he and I are having those conversations a lot for the last several years. I encourage Josh, listen to what God says to your heart and follow what he says. And, you know, of course, the answer comes back, well, how do you know what God says to my heart? If you truly, just as Jesus is saying here, ask, seek, knock. God is faithful. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. God is faithful. Some people will say, Randy, that's too simplistic. Well, it may sound simplistic, but if it was simplistic, then why isn't everyone doing it? That's what Jesus is saying. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. And he says, for everyone. He didn't say just for the people that's called in to be a preacher or a teacher or whatever. Everyone is what Jesus says. Look at number eight. Follow a logical path in fulfilling your dreams. Getting where you want to go is like climbing a ladder, taking it one rung at a time. Ask yourself, What do I need to do to make my dreams happen today, or what's keeping me from advancing my dreams today? When you can answer these questions, you'll have the next step to fulfilling your dreams. Now, let me just interject something else into that. It's not just dreams. It's asking God. Every day, Lord, what would you have me do today? God, what would you want me to be down the road? I personally believe that God answers those types of prayers. I think that God will put in your mind in time. It might not be in that particular prayer session. And we get discouraged by that. Going back to Jeremiah, simply because I have it fresh in my mind right now, after Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were dispersed, there was a band of Jews that was a part of rebuilding Jerusalem, and their leader was assassinated, and they were taken into captivity by the person that assassinated their leader. And then a captain of some of the army found them, rescued them, and they came to a point in their life where they said, and they asked Jeremiah this, we want you to pray to God, and we tell you right now, whatever God says, whatever he says, we want to go to Egypt. That's what we want to do. But we want to know from God, should we return back to Judah or should we go to Egypt? And whatever God says, we'll do. Jeremiah, the Bible says, Jeremiah prayed that prayer. He says, I'll do that. I'll pray that. He said it took 10 days before God answered. I want to let that sit in for a second. A lot of times as Christians, we ask God for answers. And if we don't get those answers, it's seemingly, overnight, we give up. We know from Daniel that the messengers of God that are sent sometimes are delayed because of the work in the spiritual realm of Satan. Now, the Bible doesn't say why Jeremiah had 10 days before he had an answer. But this was a problem and an answer that they wanted and needed pretty quick. But it took them 10 days before Jeremiah finally come to him and says, the Lord answered my prayer, and this is what he said. When we are looking, Lord, what would you have me to do, in terms of whatever it may be in our life, big things, little things, be prepared to wait. How often do you hear in the Psalms, wait on the Lord, I say again, wait. Wait how? Wait on his answer. Don't rush in, God didn't answer, so he must mean that I do this. And we do that. We make those types of decisions. Well, God didn't give me an answer, so that must mean we interpret no answer as an answer. Jesus is saying, if you ask, if you seek, and if you knock, God will answer. But you have to realize it may not be in the time frame that you're thinking or hoping that it'll be in. Then finally, number 9, overcome obstacles that will keep you from moving forward. Psalm 37:13-14 says, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Again, obstacles in life, we don't really know. Lord, am I supposed to be doing this job? Lord, am I supposed to be where I'm at right now in life? Have I missed a step here, there, or yonder? Have I got off the path? And the psalmist is saying that he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. With Nehemiah, as I talked about him at the beginning, Nehemiah, it would have been easy. Forget you all. Forget it. I'm going to go back to the king. Have a nice life. But Nehemiah found strength in himself because he knew that God had given him a job to do. And the job had not been completed. And even though there was opposition, even though that there was people in the way, Nehemiah decided, I'm going to stay and I'm going to see this through. And he doubled down and waiting on God. He would be in prayer and he's waiting on God, show me what to do. And God would give him direction. In our lives, for our purpose, we need to realize that and I'm talking to the choir now. I know I am. But we need to realize that God expects us to wait on him in his time for things to take place. You know, whenever King Saul didn't wait and decided to do the sacrifice on his own, and then Samuel shows up, and, you know, if he had just waited for Samuel to get there, think of how that would have changed everything. That was a pivotal point in his life and the life of Israel. Because Samuel said, because you did this, the Lord said you won't be king. He's chosen another.
He should have stayed away from the witch. That's all.
Well, you're jumping ahead. That's...
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the end of his life. You know, he was grasping at that point.
He still should have stayed away from
him. But think about that. God gives us these examples in his word. And we read a lot of times these stories and we're thinking, well, that's a long time ago. Or that's a culture that's not mine. Or that these people are people. They're people just like us. They may not think like us in terms of what's important and not important. But human beings, we all have the same basic needs, and those needs are met by our Lord in our life. And God is the same God then and today and forever. He doesn't change. So in our prayer life and in our everyday living life, should we not be strong in God and encourage one another? And I know I'm kind of getting off this a little bit tonight. But again, I think it's important for us to understand when obstacles come, Larry and I are going to have a conversation tomorrow because obstacles has come. But when obstacles come, we need to be there for each other. We need to be friends and we need to offer godly advice. We need to just simply say, and Larry doesn't like my advice a lot of times.
Well, it's mostly wrong.
That's why he doesn't like it. But the thing is, my advice.
His advice.
Probably because he steps on your toes.
I'll see what you got started.
It'll be all right. But we need to lift each other up. We need to, when obstacles come in our life, instead of us being always down, and we get down for good reason, but we need each other to build us up. We need people that would simply step up and say, I'm going to pray for you. And let's pray right now. You know, it's easy to say, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And then walk away. And Larry's like, wonder if he prayed for me. But it's a different thing to say, let's pray right now. In terms of our passions, in terms of our calling, in terms of our the job that we do in life, I believe that we can guide our youth into where they are walking on the right paths. I believe that we have that ability to guide them. And that's what they need. They need guidance. They need assurance. They need to know that how God has made them and the calling of the heart that God places on them, that that's all real. That that's not something that they're just imagining in their minds. And when we as Christians, and especially as folks that have lived lives and we've made the mistakes and we've had the successes in life, we can show and encourage our young folks in terms of, you know, how they should look at life. The last thing tonight is number 10. As confidence grows, opportunity finds you. People are drawn to confidence. The confidence that God brings isn't conceited. After all, it isn't about you. God put it in you, and God gets the glory. What happens is that people begin to recognize the gift that God has placed in you. Remember, your gift has been foreseen since the beginning of time. God prepared you for it. The whole earth has been waiting for you to appear. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? But it's true. Look at Romans 8:19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's us. That's us. All creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The authority you wield in your given gift is God's authority. You become the tip of the spear in advancing his truth into your world because you're doing what he designed you to do. People will want to know the reasons for your success and be prepared to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And then finally, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it in full, John 10:10. So, this is simply an outline. Yeah, Jesse.
All through this, the Lord has been prompting me to tell a little bit of my history, because it all goes back to everything you've been talking about tonight. I didn't realize what a passion I had for dealing with people with disabilities. But when I finished my college degree in 1975, I took an extracurricular class in sign language and was just blown away by it, enjoyed it, and really wanted to do some more with it. But then life happened. 20 years later, in 1995, it seemed like God kept putting deaf people into my life, and I would learn just enough sign language to communicate a little, and then it'd go away. And I said, okay. In 1995, I said, it's been 20 years, and I just really think that God is calling me to do something, to learn this and learn it well. So I started taking some college courses while I was still working a very well-paying job with Lockheed Martin. And at one point, I'd taken all the classes I could possibly take, and they said, well, you need to take an 8-week leave of absence from work so you can take this basic interpreter training program. So I got permission to do that from work. And during the middle of this training program, which was every day, and it was a very difficult program, I was driving home one night, and I said, I was not doing well with the program, and I said, you know, God, you're the one that has led me this far, and I just don't know what to do. Do I need to just go back to work and forget this, or do I need to pursue and keep going in the line of working with people with disabilities and the deafness? And I pulled into the driveway and got out of the car, and my husband met me at the door, and he said, they called me from work, and you have been laid off. And I thought, you talking about God not answering quick? He answered quick that night. But because I had that class, and I was laid off at that point, I was able to get into a year-and-a-half master's program for vocational rehabilitation. They needed people who emphasized or worked with the deaf and knew sign language. And because I'd had that training, I was able to get into that program. I got a stipend. Everything was paid for free. I ended up going into the profession as a rehab counselor, and I kept saying my dream job is to be like the head of the state, you know, for our area. And I thought, there's no way those two ladies are going to be there till they die. They both transferred to a different city, and that job opening came up. So, I mean, God was there leading me the whole time, and I just, if people will listen, you know, God knocked at my door, sent deaf people to me a long time before I ever pursued that. So sometimes you just got to be aware of what's going on and be aware that God's talking to you and pray about it and pray out loud. I was praying out loud when I got such a strong answer to my prayers. And I just thought it would fit in with what you're talking about tonight.
Absolutely. And the pews are packed with deaf people. If you ask us pastors sometime. Yes. Yeah. But if sign language will do it in the pulpit, yeah, I bet you did too.
I signed all the time. We had deaf people.
I was being facetious, wasn't I, Randy?
We know.
But it was
true.
Well, yeah. And I read that in the scripture. Mm-hmm. Apostle Paul said it many times.
Randy, in listening to everybody and what all you said, I think the biggest problem we have is I. Everybody's given gifts and talents, and some of them go right down that line, but they get, oh, I don't like this. Man, I don't want to do this. I. And so they turn away rather than waiting for God to lead them further into whatever they're doing. So the I takes over.
Yeah, so often we find that in our own lives.
That's what they said about Lucifer, wasn't it? Yeah. He was an angel with eye trouble.
Yeah. I will ascend to the heights.
Yeah.
I will sit on the most high. Yeah. Folks, God wants us to understand, I believe, that every one of you have been gifted. And every one of you have been given missions, whether you realize it or not. Sometimes I think life draws us through our mission unaware that we're actually performing the mission for God. Sometimes the mission call comes loud and clear to individuals, and they have to make that decision whether to answer the call or not. And then once you answer the call, you have to make the decision, do I stay even though there's obstacles in my way, that I would just prefer this all go away and not be this way? Being in close communication with God gives you that peace that Larry was talking about this morning, in terms of, at least if you're like Jeremiah, at least you know that God is still using you and that God is still commanding you in his paths for you. Even though that it may be a place where you don't particularly care to be, it is God who has put us there, and it's God that will bring us home. That seems to be, as I go through my life, is, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I say that more and more often, seems like, anymore. And that's something I had to learn, because just like you said, Larry, it was all about me a lot of times. And it is then become, Lord, what can I do for others? And God leads me, and he leads you. But you have to ask, and you have to listen, and you have to wait for the answer. And God is, he is faithful. He will answer. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you so often turn our attention back to ourselves and where we are weak and where we fail. And we think that maybe our lives haven't been what they need to be. And yet, Lord, over and over and over, you show us through the people that you use that it is so often the broken things in life that bring you most glory. Help us to understand that. And help us, Father, to understand that you do make us, create us for your pleasure, for your purposes. And help us, Father, just simply to give ourselves fully over to whatever it may be for each of us. And I just ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you touch each of our hearts and minds tonight and show us what you would have us to be and what to do. These things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.